Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. When the Pharisees heard that they had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked a question to test him. "Teacher, which of the commandments in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all of your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Our second reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitalities to strangers, for by doing so, that some have entertained angels without knowing it." And our final reading, again, comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if they greet you only your brothers and sisters, what more And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So ends our reading.
So this summer we have been covering a preaching series on the fruits of the Spirit. And last Sunday we looked at kindness of self and the importance of developing fresh skins of contemplative spirituality, practices in our lives that are kind and nurturing to our soul. Being kind and caring to our soul creates that openness, flexibility, and space to hear and see what God may be speaking or doing now in the present. And being kind to ourselves is foundational for then being able to be kind to others, which we will be looking at this morning. In Matthew 22, a lawyer asked Jesus a question. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And the question was meant to test Jesus. But Jesus says to the lawyer, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You shall love your neighbor as yourself. We can't be kind and loving to our neighbor if we are not being kind and loving to ourselves first. It's in our kindness of self and nurturing the love and kindness of our spirit and God that kindness is then able to flow to our neighbor. And this is pretty important. It's one of the greatest of the commandments in the law. Last summer, I took up a new fresh skin of contemplative spiritual practice in my life. I bought a movie subscription. I started off with MoviePass last summer, and then it kind of faded, not doing so well, so then I switched to this AMC A-list program where you pay a monthly fee and you can go to the movies, you know, and see a few movies a week. for one fee? Well, I had the plan of going to the movies with the intention of using the time to reflect theologically, yes, believe it or not, on the spiritual themes that are coming out in our movies and in culture. What is God saying through all of this that's going around us? And the very first movie that I saw last summer was a documentary, Won't You Be My Neighbor? It's a story of Fred Rogers, a Presbyterian minister who listens and responds to a unique calling of extending kindness to children through television programming of the series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It went from 1968 to 2001 and still showing today. Fred would begin each show with that theme song that Howard and I sing, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. The song was an invitation to children, even adults, us, to be our neighbor. It invited us to be seen, heard, and welcomed with kindness for the beauty each of us are as simply neighbors. The show handled very difficult emotions and unkind situations by talking about that difficult emotion, countering the unkind with the kindness. The episode that will still stand out to me above all the others would be when Fred Rogers is wading his feet in this little pool of water, and he invites Officer Clemens, a black man, to wade his feet with Fred's. In the news at the time, colored people were in a swimming pool, and white people poured acid in this pool while they were in it. Horrifying. And Fred's kind act of wading feet with Officer Clemens was meant to counter the racism, the hatred in that present time. This November, the story of Fred Rogers and his kindness will be made into a movie starring Tom Hanks. Perhaps you've heard about it. It will be called It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And to me, the documentary last summer, and even looking forward to the movie that's coming up soon, to me serve as bookends to many movies that I have seen and witnessed this year on the theme of kindness. It's overwhelming, the themes of kindness that are coming through our culture. Today, we are living in a time and a place that is not so kind to our neighbor. We still struggle with hate, racism, homelessness, separating families, placing immigrant children in camps, and the list goes on. And yet we long for kindness, and many movies are made with kindness themes. And I almost visualize seeing a megaphone from God seeming to shout through the noise of our culture, calling us to be kind. It continues to echo from the call of kindness in Scripture to love our neighbor as ourself, to not neglect kindness and hospitality to strangers, and to even love, be kind, and pray for our enemies. The animated film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, it pushed the boundary even more on who can be a superhero. It suggests that anyone, really, anyone can be a hero. Anyone can wear the mask. It just takes a leap of faith. And the movie ends with a quote by the Marvel legend Stan Lee, and it is read up there on the screen and states this: that person who helps others simply because it should or must be done, and because it is the right thing to do, is indeed a doubt, a real superhero. So each of us, through our kindness, has the means to be a superhero. Kindness lies at the foundation for our fascination and love for superheroes, these movies. Hebrews 13:1-2 says, Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. This is a call for radical hospitality and kindness, simply because we are all human beings on a journey. Because we also might be entertaining angels through our kindness. This scripture caused me to reflect back to Genesis 18, to the story of Abraham and Sarah, who hosted angels, disguised as strangers, who ended up blessing Sarah, leading to the multitude of descendants and the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. Our kindness to the stranger may not just bless the stranger, but perhaps the stranger may be an angel blessing us in return. Isn't kindness like that? It blesses both receiver and giver. Another great movie this year was The Upside. It's a story of a quadriplegic that not only has this going through the grief and loss of his wife with cancer, but his own life has been changed because of his car accident. And the movie emphasizes how kindness allows the people around us to be seen and heard as the people they are. Not the handicaps, the disabilities, the past history, or judgments that many can be quick to make. The call by Jesus to love our neighbor as ourselves is an invitation for us all to know one another and to offer that invitation to one another. Won't you be my neighbor? At the Adelanto Detention Center, I was moved by the loud chant, "I see you, I hear you, I love you." Could you say that? I see you, I hear you, I love you. Say that one more time. I see you, I hear you, I love you. It's powerful. We don't care about what we don't see. Kindness opens our eyes to invisible people. Kindness opens our ears to invisible people. Why are vigils for immigrant families important? Why do demonstrations at detention centers like Adelanto and Metropolitan Detention Center in LA matter? Why do demonstrations for Black Lives Matter? Why did Harvey Milk encourage gays and lesbians to come out of the closet and let their stories be known, to allow others to see our shared humanity? Because we don't care about what we don't see. We don't care about what we don't hear. Kindness opens our eyes and ears to invisible people. Kindness allows people, the children, the immigrant, the person of color, the gay and lesbian, transgender person, to be seen as the neighbor, the beauty, the beloved child of God that they are. And our kindness is so very important. The animated film Missing Link is about lonely Mr. Link, who is longing for family and belonging. The story emphasizes how sometimes we can actually find kindness, family, and healing in the places one might least expect. It could be the very people around us. Our kindness could be the missing link of kindness that one may need. And I'm sure that each of us here in this room can think of those in our life who came at a critical time with their kindness. And it has allowed us to be here today, forever changed and forever shaped. One last movie to share would be The Best of Enemies. It's a story from this year of how in 1971, a Klansman and a colored civil rights activist moved from the best of enemies to becoming friends. C.P. Ellis, Anne, and their city engage in a nonviolent process called a charrette, encouraging dialogue with one another. And the moral of the movie is that change happens when enemies make an effort to know one another and are open to kindness. And Anne takes it on herself to offer kindness to the Klansman's disabled son. And it's her kindness that causes the Klansman's family to begin to question his own beliefs, his own belonging with being in this clan. Jesus said, "You heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, you shall love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's easy being kind to kind people. There is greater difficulty in being kind to those who are unkind, to those enemies in life. Sojourners magazine, it's a social justice Christian magazine. I got this month's issue. It says, right on here, love your enemy, but first you have to know who they are. As God's children, we are called to love and be kind, to pray for those enemies in our life, to know them. Enemies are not people we disagree with, and enemies are not people we dislike or those who are different from us. We have a great saying in the church here, right? We can agree to disagree. But in the gospel, enemies are those who make camp in the far side of the line that is justice. And God is calling all of us to join God among the oppressed. And we are living in a day and time with much injustice. And Scripture calls us to be neighbors. It invites us, "Won't you be my neighbor? Could you be my neighbor? Please, please, won't you be my neighbor?" It moves us to act with kindness, to see, to hear, to love. And we are being urged to live into God's vision for radical kindness that meets strangers, angels, even enemies, with open hearts, arms, and our communities. Amen.